Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Auto, home, life, business. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. The Sunbury Motors guarantee, they go over every vehicle, which is so important. And great service department that backs it all up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call today doesn't involve the Yankees because they don't do anything exciting, so we'll go with the Nationals. They scored four in the ninth to win.
Now the set. Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball right side toward the hole. Bounces past the first baseman and into right field. And a curly W's in the books. Tom Smith scores the winning run on a chopping base hit over the first baseman Tolia by C.J. Abrams, driving in his 41st run of the year. And the Nationals come back a second game in a row with four runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to win it here at Nationals Park. They take this series and the season series from the Colorado Rockies.
Curly W. Okay.
Yeah, that's a signature call.
I know it is. I understand. All right, okay. Yeah.
I actually like listening to the Nationals broadcast, by the way.
They're good. Yep, they're good.
I like the play-by-play guy at 106.7.
Yep, does a great job. Does Sterling say put another NY in there for next year?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I'm actually a little surprised he hasn't come up with that yet with all the home run calls he does.
Well, he spends a lot of time. Literally, I'm not kidding here. He does spend a lot of time in the offseason coming up with them. Hey, it's part of what he does. It's part of who he is. That's you know what? It's great. Everybody, you have to. I tell the students in my broadcasting class all the time, just be the best you. I said, the best you out there is you. I said, you may borrow something from somebody or whatever, make it into your own and just be you. Yeah, well, for John, that's who he is. That's fine. I think that's, everybody has to, put forward their own personality. You're a hater, so, everybody can.
Oh, my almighty!
No. After all, the ranch, you're going to tell everybody you're a lover?
I'm not afraid to admit when I'm a hater sometimes. In certain circumstances.
Right, let me explain why I... before we get to the Pac-12 thing, did you watch the World Cup game last night, the matchup?
I did not, to be honest. I totally forgot it was on at 9 o'clock last night.
Yeah, you probably also were asleep, getting to sleep.
I was in the middle of getting the boys to bed, and then I was getting to bed, so yes.
Right, yeah, because you got to get up so early. Wow, that was, in terms of personal taste, it was not fun to watch. I felt like I was watching bully ball soccer. Every time you turn around, somebody's knocking somebody else down. Netherlands plays in such a way where they take away all the spacing. And the U.S., in the first half, the U.S. is trying to play hero ball. Like, play as a team. All right, stop. You know, in the second half, they played as a team. They opened it up a little bit more. They finally on a set piece, and their set pieces were all pretty good last night. On a set piece on the corner, they were finally able to score and tie it up. But it was not for something that was two really good teams. They were in the cup final against each other 4 years ago. At least from my personal taste. Just from my personal taste. It wasn't fun to watch. And that's just me. You as a fan may be sitting out there, especially if you're a deep soccer fan, you may be, oh, no, it was great. Well, and you are, you know, everybody has their own taste as to what they like, don't like. That didn't do anything for me last night. I'm like, okay, well, I watch when they play Portugal next Tuesday. Yeah, oh, yeah, I will because it's the U.S. But it just didn't move the needle for me last night in watching it.
Well, I know so far offensive consistency has been a major issue, which I expected because, I mean, this is the least talented team they've had as they try to go for a three-peat in the World Cup. I mean, I think at least I knew that. Most people knew that going in, and that's going to be the Achilles heel of this team.
Yeah.
And when they were really in the last two World Cups they've won, they were fun to watch because they were scoring a lot. I mean, they were really good on offense. And then combined with Alyssa Nair being a brick wall in the goal.
Right. Well,
so I can't say I'm surprised by that, having not watched a single second yet of the World Cup. But
right. They tried to play hero ball and didn't play as a team in the first half. In the first half, the midfield was a sieve. Second half, they were able to tie up the midfield. They did a good job. Rose Lavelle was the only sub they made all night. And when she came in there, she really steadied the ship at both ends. And I give her a lot of credit for that. And she's the only sub the U.S. had last night.
And they're working her back slowly, too. She'll start eventually, it sounds like, as she did before. But she's working her way back from injury.
Right.
As is Rapinoe.
Right, yeah. So we will we'll see. I mean, look, they get a point out of it. That's good. This is this is not the knockout round, so it doesn't matter in terms of, you know, if they had lost, they still can get through, but it turns out they got a draw, they can get through. But it wasn't aesthetically fun. How about that? To watch last night. Maybe because they didn't win, but they had to fight so hard to do it. And we always talk about all the time how important it is to play with the lead. And the U.S. is a fabulous front-running team. And they had to come back last night. And they ended up getting a draw. But it was frustrating watching it last night as opposed to there was just more knockdowns than shots. Okay. So but that's just me. It's just my personal taste. It may completely differ with yours. Pac-12. They're in this spot for a couple of reasons. You know, obviously it does. By the way, you notice Mbappe told Saudi Arabia no. Did you see that?
I did not see that, but good for him.
Yeah, Mbappe said no. You know, his thought process is, hey, look, I'm making a lot of money. I don't need to do this. Hey, good for him. The Pac-12 problems started with Larry Scott. And it's amazing how the the contract that they signed in 2013 was hailed as such a groundbreaking contract for college sports. If I take you back in time, that's what they were talking about. Oh, and he's the guy, he's getting it done. Then over time, you have found out how mismanaged it is, how the contract didn't hold up to the test of time, and how there were overpayments made to the conference, and now the conference owes money back. It's all mismanaged. So enter George Kliavkov. He's supposed to be the one that is going to solve all these problems. I think his experience like was with MGM and so forth. Where, you know, it's not like he hasn't had past success at places. He has. But when it comes to this, I can tell you where the foul ball was hit. And it's not the day that USC and UCLA decide to leave. That's not it, okay? It leads to this, but USC and UCLA are leaving no matter what, because the Pac-12, if they stay all together, do they get a contract? Yes. Do they maybe get 40 to 45 million per school? Maybe. But they're not going to get 75 to 90 million like they get in the Big Ten. And USC saw that. They saw that. That's why they made the first call, followed by UCLA making the second call to the executives of Fox about, hey, can we get this done? Is it possible for us to make the move? And that's how this whole thing got started. Because they knew what the financials were going to be, that they can get more money than they currently have by being in the Pac-12, but they can get exponentially more money by going to the Big Ten. And for UCLA, when you're $104 million in the red, this is the lifeboat you're looking for. And we don't know what USC's financials happen to be, because as a private school, they don't have to report them to the U.S. government, to the government website. So they're exiting. Okay. Does that deal a blow to the Pac-12 and TV negotiations? Unquestionably. But in September of last year, it appeared that the Pac-12 was on the verge of a new deal with ESPN and maybe even Fox. I'm not sure if Fox is in this or not. I think they were. And they said no, because Kliavkov, in particular, focused completely on UCLA's exit from the conference. He could do nothing about USC. USC, again, is a private institution. They are not a state school. So USC can do whatever it wants as a private institution. Their grant of rights are naturally going to run out August 1st of next year, and August 2nd, they were going to go to the Big Ten no matter what. Yeah. We all know that the day they said that they were going to the Big Ten on June 30th a year ago, that UCLA was also going no matter what. There's no way in heck you're losing $104 million in the red in debt and say no. Well, you know what? I think we'll stay. No, you're not going to stay. But instead, they concentrated so much, because I think he was trying to get every dollar. If we can keep UCLA, we can get 40 to 45 billion. If we don't, we're going to get in the low 30s. That was the thought process. And he decided to focus all that on a losing proposition that the California border regents could keep UCLA. And he made all sorts of bizarre statements about travel numbers, about travel costs, things like that. I mean, and if you know anything about the Big Ten, I'll tell you the part that nobody ever talks about. And you have to have knowledge of the conference and how it works to understand this. It isn't just the TV money. But UCLA is going to come out on the plus side of revenue sharing. Penn State football comes out on the negative side. Pat Kraft said to me, says, I can't believe I got to write a check to the conference. So after the football season, he says, because of the revenue sharing thing. Because Penn State pays the max in. There are givers. Penn State's a giver, and there are takers. UCLA is going to be a taker. They're going to get money from the conference in revenue sharing based on the formula. And that will help defray some of the travel costs. Again, you got to understand how the thing works. All right? And he's going on and on to the California Board of Regents about this, and they September, and they delay the vote, and they, yeah, we'll go into November, they delay that vote. They finally, December 17th, well, we're going to let them go. Yeah, no choice. They're not going to, okay, they're not staying. They're not staying. So you wasted 3 months on a losing proposition that everybody with common sense knew you were going to lose. Instead of just saying, hey, we're going forward with 10. These are our 10. We might expand, but let's get this TV deal done now. Because look how much the media landscape has changed in 10 months. In September of last year, when he could have had a deal, ESPN did not know in that time frame that they were going to be laying off employees, including several prominent faces in front of the camera. In September of last year, 10 months ago, he didn't know The Athletic was going to be laying off employees. 10 months ago, he didn't know that the New York Times was going to close its sports department. That's how much in 10 months the sports media landscape has changed. Think about that. 10 months ago, did we think the New York Times was going to close its sports department? 10 months ago, did we think The Athletic was going to lay off writers? 10 months ago, did we think ESPN was going to lay off hundreds of employees, including a whole bunch of prominent names in front of the camera? Did we think any of that? 10 months ago, I didn't think that. And there's no way he could have thought that. But that's how much things change in 10 months. That's how much things change in 10 months. And he could have had the deal 10 months ago. Now you get to a point, because of the way the landscape has changed in 10 months, we have media companies now making big decisions. And there are two primary categories. One is must-have, and the other category is nice-to-have, and the other one is filler. There's three categories. Must-have, nice-to-have, filler. Well, what's must-have out there? The NBA contract. That's ESPN must have that contract. They have to have it. NBC's going to bid. That's a must-have for them. Turner's going to bid for it. It's a must-have for them. The Pac-12 has slid into nice-to-have. Yeah, it'd be nice to have them. But you don't bid as much or as aggressively for nice-to-have as you do must-have. You don't make cuts in personnel to save money unless you're gearing up for the must-have. You don't make cuts in personnel to bid for nice-to-have. And Kliavkov has a product that is nice-to-have, not must-have. And with Colorado now voting this afternoon, apparently, about whether or not to take the invitation from the Big 12, they might be the Pied Piper that now moves those schools to the Big 12. I'm talking about maybe Arizona, Arizona State, who knows about Washington, Oregon, and leaves the others out, hung out to dry. San Diego State may be in the same conference with Washington State and Oregon State, but it's not going to be the Pac, whatever. It might be the Mountain West. But that's how much things changed. Well, he was messing around with the UCLA thing, feeling that that was the chip he needed to get the big money for everybody else. He should have just said, you know what? Okay, on June 30th last year, when UCLA said, hey, we're going to go with USC to the Big Ten, as Dick Girardi always would say in the broadcast, UCLA on June 30th is gone. At that point, you have to just accept it and go, you know, I can't fight this. Right? What can I do with the rest of it? And instead, they decided to fight it. And they fought a battle over and over again. I repeatedly said on the show, right, Matt? Did I say over and over again on the show there was no way in heck that they were going to stop it?
Absolutely.
Over and over again. Kept saying, I don't understand what they're doing here. They can't stop this. Can't. And he kept fighting that battle. And he kept, right? He finally shut up about everything. He shut up about everything after the UCLA thing was settled on December 17th. He has done hardly any talking since. But between September and December 17th, he did a lot of talking. He should have been talking to the media partners and taking care of the 10 he had. Now he's got a big problem. A really big problem. Because there may not be anything left to manage if Colorado says yes and if Colorado is the Pied Piper. And the statement he made last week, the longer we wait, the better our options get. Huh? When Colorado's president was there in Las Vegas last week with the other presidents, and then it came time for something, he said, I've got to catch a plane and go. That was the tip-off that said, big problem for Moose and Squirrel. To quote the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. I might as well get it to a point where your kids can understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, my almighty!
Oh, I forgot. Your kids are actually, like, especially Luke. I mean, he cuts the lawn.
And helps water the plants.
But imagine how that's going. It's kind of, no offense, we're no longer in drought. I mean, he can't make that many mistakes. I mean, when it comes to the TV negotiations, this goes back to what I said to you earlier. George has been circling a fogged-in media airport. So we'll see what Colorado decides to do. The invitation is out there. Now, Oregon met today, okay? Everybody's like, oh my, they're going to. Now, the meeting was the compensation committee on Coach Dan Lanning. He got a $45 million extension, including a $20 million buyout should he leave. Okay? That's what that meeting was about.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Fabulous service department that takes care of everything. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Of course, you see what I'm saying about the this deal with the Pac-12. I feel like this is the 21st century version of Nero. You can't fiddle while Rome burns. A message from this station and the Ad Council. So who has made your hall of stinkage? You made a reference to it earlier. Obviously, you have nominees.
Oh, no one did. I was just reiterating that I am the executive director of the Hall of Stinkage. I don't have any nominees at this time. Although Carlos Rodon's getting very close.
He pitched well for you last night.
Yes, that's what kept him off, basically.
I mean, it's the Mets. But he did pitch well. What was the final? 3-1?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Wow. All right. So, I thought for sure you had a Hall of Stinkage nominee today. You were so bold about it. Aaron Rodgers took a pay cut. You know what the Aaron Rodgers pay cut told me?
I'm going to say nothing.
No. Actually, the opposite. He intends on playing more than 1 year with the Jets.
Yes, that is true.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
I guess that is right. Yeah, it's a 2-year deal, so that would logic would say that.
Yeah. Then there's the messy situation. Big opener. Scores the game winner. Everything's awesome, great, incredible. Well, you know they played again since, and you know what? And it was in Miami. You know what they had in the second game they did not have in the first game? Empty seats. When he played the second time through in Miami, they had empty seats. Now, if I am the Red Bulls, New York, I see what I can do to pay the rent and move this thing out to MetLife Stadium. Because I think you want to be able to give everybody the Pele feeling. Because when Pele and Giorgio Canalia and Franz Beckenbauer and Shep Messing and that whole group, they could sell out Giants Stadium, the old Giants Stadium, 76,000 fans. It was quite the happening when the Cosmos played. Messi, who's obviously such a terrific talent, he and Ronaldo would be this generation's Pele. And I mean, they're going to be the show wherever they go because of him. But they had empty seats. And again, Miami, like most MLS teams, they do not play in a 50, 60, 70,000 seat stadium. The places they play in are about 20 to 30,000. And they didn't sell out, or at least they had empty seats. Now, there was a guy that wrote an article for the Intelligencer, Gabriel DiBenedetti, refers to the era of Pele's ill-fated 1975 arrival in Manhattan was ancient history. It wasn't ill-fated. I mean, yeah, the North American Soccer League died, but it died after he left. When he was there, the Meadowlands was a happening. It didn't mean it was a happening everywhere else. But on the Meadowlands in New York, when the Cosmos played, it was a happening. It was not ill-fated. I don't know where people come up with such things. This guy obviously was not alive when that happened. Ill-fated. What the hell are you talking about, ill-fated? I mean, is soccer in this country bigger than it was back then? Yeah. But did Pele's arrival get people interested in the sport around here? Yeah, and it probably started the foundation for what we're seeing in this country today. But Messi played game two. When he played game two, there were empty seats. Interesting. So, yeah. Meanwhile, you didn't watch the Women's World Cup because you're not an American. You had to get up at what time? You get up 5?
5:30 actually.
Well, you could have stayed up. No, I'm just kidding.
I do a lot of prep the night before so that I can just basically get up and go.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, number one, it's probably very extensive and time-consuming. So we'll find out what Colorado wants to do later today. I mean, it's there in front of them. Whatever they want to do. They're going to go and vote on it later today. P.J. Fleck met with the media today, and he had to answer allegations by former players. He defended his program against what he called baseless allegations, as Adam Rittenberg wrote earlier today. It was a report from Front Office Sports. He said that it had been looked into many times since 2017 and found no wrongdoing. Several former Minnesota players told Front Office Sports that P.J. Fleck would overlook positive drug tests and other team rule violations for players who had accumulated enough goodwill through a point system called Fleck Bank. Right? Now, we have close to the same system. We call it Suit Bank.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit!
Has as much value to it as the as the French franc and the Italian lira. That's right, they don't exist anymore. Okay. Sue tried to pay everybody one time in cryptocurrency. We'd never heard of that. It was called suit coins.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
I mean, suit's a four-letter word, but so's cash. All right, so Flex said he at Minnesota had set up six channels where players can report mistreatment, including directly going to athletic director Mark Coyle. Fleck noted that Minnesota's athletic department followed the football program's lead in not permitting physical exercise to be used as punishment for athletes. Said during Big Ten Media Day during his press conference that the Fleck Bank was an analogy he mostly used during the 17-18 seasons about player investment in the program and how to put more in to have better experiences. There was no currency ever exchanged, no coins that ever existed. It was an analogy simply to explain investment in life, a life lesson of investment, simply that. No one ever got any type of punishment out of that. You are who you are, and you're running a very, very open, transparent program. Our university knows that, or our athletic department, or our athletic director knows that. They experience it every single day. Okay. Now, as you know, what I am not big into, okay? I'm big into hard work, playing right, getting as many athletes as possible to do that who go to school. And guess what? I'm not into chopping wood. I am not into rowing boats or anything like that. I just find that stuff to be like, really? What does that do? Okay, guess what rowing the boat gets you? Okay, the first time you out there and somebody smacks you in the face, you're not thinking about rowing any boat. Right? First time you get smacked in the face, you're not thinking about chopping wood. You're thinking about, okay, how do I get through this day and how can I beat this guy? I mean, that's what it's all about. So I'm not big into sayings and things like that. You know? Here's our mission statement. How about we just go out and do everything we can to be the best we can be? There we go. Right, let's do a mission statement. Matt, what's our mission statement? Why don't we have a meeting about it and we can waste days doing it?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, really. Here's one for you. Like, have some personal pride. Go out and just do the job the best you can. Let's try that. See how it goes. Let's try being self-motivated. Give it a shot. You know, in football in particular, you have so much competition. And I, look, I know you're, when you go into a new program and you walk in that locker room, every single player becomes your player. But that doesn't mean they believe in you right away. They're sitting there skeptical, and players have more power than ever. We know that. They can transfer, NIL deals, things that they have more power on the collegiate level than ever before. So it's not a question of winning them over. But look, if you go out there and you just be you and do your deal, right, the ones that want to be there will show up. The ones that don't want to be there, look, you move on from them, no matter how good they are. And you're not going to mesh with everybody. But you have 125 of them. And guess what? Competition weeds that out. That's why when James Franklin talks about Drew Aller, Bo Prabula, they say, well, Drew Aller, yeah, there's a competition there. Well, there is a competition there. But there's a competition at every position. Every day. You can never be complacent with what you're doing within the program. You can't be complacent. You are trying to make sure that as much as people assume you are the starter for day one, you still have to go out and win the job. Olu Fashanu, as much as everybody on the planet that follows college football assumes he is the left tackle for Penn State. Right? He still has to go out the first couple of weeks of camp and show that he is still the best guy there. And I think we would all be shocked if he wasn't. But he still has to do it. Can't take plays off, can't take reps off. You got to be a leader out there, and you got to show that you've worked hard to be a better player than you were last year. Right? That's why you don't make assumptions. Right? Blanket assumptions. Right? Is it possible somebody gets beaten out? Sure, of course it is. That's why you're out there doing it. You're not just out there saying, okay, here's the starting lineup. And all of a sudden, the guy's looking around. They're like going, well, wait a minute. Or at the end of camp. I'll give you a good one. End of camp. End of camp 2 years ago. Jordan Vandenberg is on scout team. All right. Midseason, James tells the team. I was standing right there when he said it. He said, I'm telling you, we're watching everybody and every rep all the time. He said, I'll tell you a guy that's got the coaches thinking he's got to move up to the travel squad, and that's Jordan Vandenberg. A week later, Jordan Vandenberg's up with the travel squad. Jordan Vandenberg's starting to play in games. He did not accept the fact that he was put on the scout team. He kept working and got himself to the travel team. You can do that. Now, did I say Jordan Vandenberg was starting? No. But he worked himself up and put himself in a spot to be a player. And that's what competition does. Have I seen guys go to scout team and like for a couple weeks they can't get it together because they're so disappointed? Yeah, absolutely. Right? Then I've seen guys like Jordan who get to the scout team and say, you know what? I'm going to show everybody I should be with that group. And get there. So yeah, you're in competition every day out there. Because remember, for him going to the travel team, somebody had to go to the scout team. Competition. In Matt's world, there's only one competition. It's a race to see who gets to the Hall of Stinkage first. No.
Somewhat accurate.
In your nightly preparation for the next day, do you think about the Hall of Stinkage?
If something warrants it, sure.
It's been a while since we inducted somebody.
It has been a while, actually. There are some people that are close but haven't quite gone in there yet.
Ooh. Maybe we should put out warning signs tomorrow.
Yeah, we can do that.
See, I want to make the experience fun for you. Like ripping people to shreds, that's fun to you. And it's going to get worse as time goes because you're going to be so tired by the time you get to the show. You're just going to be in a really foul mood. All right. You think you're tired now. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 W.